we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an advert from the Tonbridge and Sevenoaks Friday ad read by Chris Aldridge.
Do you scratch your bottom in the bath? Call Bath Shield and have it enamelled.
Thanks to Michael Brett for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Phil Jupiters. And opposite them on my left, Fred McCauley and Sue Perkins. Andy, who found coming up with their own big ideas too taxing?
This is our beloved leader and new leader, the Scottish person. It's bad luck to use his name. And, it was Gordon and his great clunking fist with which he just kept punching himself in the face. Anyway, I never thought I'd say these words, but watching Gordon Blair in Gordon Brown action. Well, there's an interesting slip. Now, watching Brown in action made me yearn for Blair to be Prime Minister. Because, again, no, because seriously, I mean, I know Tony Blair had a lot of faults. I'm not denying that, but at least when he lied to you, you believed him. Whereas, well, you did, didn't you? I mean, a few hours later, you went, "Don't, he got me again." But you did. I don't know about you, but it worries me. I think, I don't want to be represented by someone who can't lie proficiently. What happens if he's in some delicate discussions, diplomatic discussions with Iranian representatives? And they say to him, "Are you going to support a US attack on Iran?" And he says, "No." And they say, "Gordon." It could be a disaster.
In watching the whole debate in the Commons, all that struck me was how Ming Campbell is turning into Grandpa from The Simpsons.
"Really, I was in charge of things. Things were different. A bee. I'm frightened."
It was a fantastic way of government cost-cutting. They just outsource all their policy-making to Conservative Central Office. I thought that was a wonderful
thing. They're just using them as a focus group, aren't they? It's rather imaginative in a way.
But the whole thing is, who thought of not paying the death duties? Answer, everybody. It's not like it's an original idea, is it?
Next year, just to show that they are having original thought, Alistair Darling, or his successor, if it's still Labour, should be asked to do the pre-budget report the week before the Tory party conference.
Yeah.
You imagine that?
Or put them in sealed envelopes. Some sort of unveiling business.
I'll see your inheritance tax.
And raise you. Your stamp duty. He was described as a magpie, wasn't he, in all the papers. Gordon Brown was a magpie, which is an inaccurate analogy as far as I'm a twitcher. And to be clear, magpies do thieve, but they also emit pellets on the wing, which I'm not aware that Gordon Brown does. Not since he left the Treasury, anyway. I think he's stopped all that. So I think we should be a bit more specific about the terminology we use.
Do you know why Blair, over his term of office, slowly got greyer and greyer, and Brown's in now, and he's slowly going to get greyer and greyer? If it gets really stressful, I want to know what colour Alistair Darling's hair's going to go.
Alistair Darling has unveiled Labour's pre-budget report, which contains several key tax policies that Conservatives claim are theirs and would have won them the general election if Gordon hadn't cancelled it due to a sudden attack of scaredy pants. Technical term. I think the Chancellor betrayed his nerves when his budget speech finished, "All my own work, signed Alistair Darling." So that's 2 points to Andy. Phil, actually, I've got you down here on my script as Philo, which is a lovely butter-rich pastry.
As am I.
Indeed. Who has been a Russian about with their accusations?
It's this bloke from the FSB, the sinister government agency that likes to say "Nyet." The FSB took over from the KGB, and there's this dude there has started saying that the British, having brought down communism, now want to finish off Russia generally. Mm. And the people at the embassy in Russia went, "No, we're not." This bloke is trying to kind of whip up some sort of fervour. I think the Russian election's around the corner. And I think he's kind of building up to expelling some more British diplomats for a laugh, because it's fun.
But it was so extraordinary, because it said that British spies have got James Bond-like gadgets, and some of them have got communication devices in their laptops. I thought, well, I've got that.
Well, you could be a spy then.
Yeah. Perhaps I am a spy and I didn't realise.
Have you got an umbrella, Sandy?
I have, haven't I?
You're definitely a spy.
Yeah.
And an account at a sushi restaurant. It's not looking good, is it?
They start moaning about the fact that there's this oligarch who lives over here who they want to put on trial, because they've got someone we want to put on trial.
Mm.
We've got someone they want to put on trial. And I know this is totally building up to one of those moments on a bridge with Michael Caine and just swapping blokes. Yeah.
And zither music.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
We want Lugavoy, who we think may have been dabbling in recipes with polonium. And they want Berezovsky, who actually, by Russian standards, isn't that rich. Because I think he's got something like 300 million, which is compared
that's
to...
That's just walking around money.
Yeah. But now Berezovsky is making allegations. He's suing Abramovich for... Apparently, this does sound like a sort of mafia movie. Apparently, Abramovich went to see Berezovsky and said, you know those companies that you own? You have to sell them to me or else the Russian government's going to confiscate them. And Berezovsky is now suing Abramovich for fraud and intimidation. No interest in the story other than the fact that if Abramovich gets arrested, then Chelsea go under. That's the only angle of the story.
Yeah.
Which I don't want... No, not
let
yet.
Let it bring it on.
Not yeah, Sue.
Yeah.
The opposite of yeah.
Yeah, because that clears the way for Charlton Athletic once we've got into the Premiership again, and that will happen.
Oh, my God, there's two of them. It sounds like something from a Jean Le Carré novel, but Russia's intelligence chief Nikolai Patrushev has accused Britain and MI6 of plotting to weaken and dismantle the country ahead of elections for the Duma in December. I like that, weaken and dismantle. It makes Russia sound like a Meccano set. Sweet. So 2 points there to Phil, or Philo, as we like to call him. Sue, who's considering committing countryside?
This is the government. They first of all said they wanted to build 3 million houses.
Oh.
And they were delighted because they thought, houses, we need bricks, and we need mortar, and we need roofs, and we need guttering. But they forgot that there was one other thing they might need, which was some land. Now, heaven forfend, people with not a lot of money want to move into the Greenbelt.
Good Lord.
Which will mean the concreting of the area of greenery outside the M25. And there's been all kinds of nimbyism and uproar and outrage and huffing and puffing. I like to think of one person, and that person is Sarah Beeny. And I like to think, what would Sarah Beeny do? And trust me, that is a one-size-fits-all question. Sarah Beeny, when faced, I think, with the crisis over homes that we have and with the Greenbelt, would probably knock through Essex and Hertfordshire to create a larger, more roomy county, possibly with an ensuite unitary council.
This is land outside the M25 that they want to build on.
Yes, is that right? Do you live inside the M25? It sounds like
well,
you
live
inside.
Why don't they put the houses actually on the M25? I mean, actually, so you have to come out your drive at 80.
Yeah.
Go in a circle, round and round.
You'd have this... You really have to be revving.
Why don't we just infill between the Isle of Wight and the mainland?
You know, it's one of those questions to which I can't think of a single response. So I don't...
I think if the trend continues, because I think there was housing statistics came out this week that said that prices were falling, so another few months, and they'll all be affordable.
I can't give it away.
Affordable to you.
Area outside.
Scotland getting all the money, frankly.
Yes, house prices still going up in Scotland, if anybody's interested. You can actually hear the smile in my face, can't you?
Well, the government is considering acting the Greenbelt to provide more land for housing, with a review being carried out by their conservation advisers, Barrett Holmes.
The preservers of the Fertile Girdle.
No, it's actually, I like it, it's a body called Natural England. Not to be confused, obviously, with Naturalist England, who are not in favour of any kind of belts at all, as far as I know. So 2 points there to Sue. Fred, who is inciting everyone to have a gay day?
Jack Straw?
He is.
Is this the Criminal Justice Bill and amendments?
Yeah.
Inciting hatred through having a go at people's sexuality or perceived sexuality, whether they be homosexual, bisexual, transsexual or heterosexual.
Yeah, but
which I think just about covers everyone.
No.
Not
doesn't cover me, not by a long shot.
Apparently, it doesn't include include transgender people. And Jack Straw said he was thinking about this. And so he sort of suggests that what he's saying is if you do hate transgender people and you want to encourage others to hate them, you better start your incitement pretty quick. Now's the time.
It's not something you hear cabbies say, is it? You know who I can't stand? Those transgender people.
Can I just say,
yes.
Will Jeremy Clarkson now face retrospectively action for calling a Daihatsu a bit ginger beer?
Did he?
By which he meant obviously queer, by which he obviously was a possibly incitement to hate a motor vehicle.
But even this programme, I heard last week's programme, and there was a laugh from the audience, a line about Soho streets being full of policemen, cowboys.
Yes, I did say they'd all come out from a disco. Yeah. I did say that, yes, that is true.
So it's in terms, it's degrees. Is it going to lead to hatred, isn't it?
That's... Yeah, well, what they've said, that, for example, it won't apply to people who express religious views temperately. So you can't incite homophobic hatred, that's banned, but you can float the idea.
No. I think most people that would shout, poof, on the street, don't go, might I posit an alternative notion for your lifestyle? You poof.
Anyway, Justice Secretary Jack Straw this week announced plans to make inciting hatred against people because of their sexuality illegal. A spokesman for the Ministry of Justice said the new law would not prohibit criticism of homosexuals. And I thought, this is disappointing. Because if you're having a bad hair day, wouldn't it be lovely if there was a law that said, no, you can't mention it, it's against the law, you can't say anything about it.
Can gay people slander each other, though? Can they use that term? Can they appropriate that term?
Can they?
End of round one. The scores are Andy and Phil have got 4 points for Fred and Sue are in the lead with 5. We start round two with another ad, this time from the New Forest Post.
Robert Bone, magician. Robert can turn your wedding into something to be remembered.
And our thanks to Jane Williams for spotting that. Phil, why can a broken heart be bad for your ticker?
If you're in a bad relationship, hello audience, it's apparently bad for your heart. They spoke to a lot of people who were in relationships, and something like 1.3% of the people who were in unsatisfying, ill-communicative, non-supportive, normal relationships were more likely to have a heart attack. But of course, what you've got to remember is that if you get a pet, they can bring the blood pressure down, which is why all those single women have cats. Because the blokes have gone, you get a couple of cats in, you get your blood pressure back up again. Or down, or whatever way it's supposed to go. You get a balance of blokes and cats in your house that is good for your cardiovascular system. That's how I think it works.
Put a dog in that scenario, what have you got there?
Well, some sort of fight, because the cat and the dog, they're natural enemies.
What's happening to
the dog? So they're going to be stressful with each other, the cat and the dog, so the cat's blood pressure's going to go up, so the cat is going to have to stroke perhaps a mouse.
The mouse's blood pressure, wallet!
A cat stroking it all day, it's not going to be relaxing for it.
This research,
yep.
Did they ask people with healthy hearts whether they were in a crap relationship? Because it seems to me that if you just say to people, have you got a dodgy ticket? You go, yeah. Crap girlfriend? Go, tell me about it. Then obviously you're going to say, you see the two are linked. I think it's research by a bloke who's just come out of a bad relationship. And I think he wants to blame cardiac disease on women.
Well, apparently, the scientists at the University of the Bleeding Obvious followed more than 9,000 people for 12 years. That is an unhealthy relationship, I think.
And that has probably got in the way of their relationship.
Yeah,
because they're trying to have a quiet evening in. There's a bloke with a clipboard on the end of the sofa. That's not going to be...
Is he communicating with you? Is he? Is he? Is he talking to you? Put the cat down. Listen to me.
Yes, Lee, this is the groundbreaking news that bad relationships can be bad for your health. And it was published in a prestigious scientific journal, the No Shit Sherlock Gazette. Sue, why might mother's ruin not be so ruinous after all?
Yes, this is to do with two conflicting pieces of advice about pregnancy. On one hand, I think it's the chief medical officer or somebody saying, no, mustn't drink anything when you are pregnant, don't touch the stuff, it's all evil. And then somebody else has cropped up, a National Institute for something, saying, no, you can have a drink, you can have 1.5 or something units a day, which is equivalent, I think, to a bottle of beer or a glass of wine. And they've said, you know, if you're going to drink Alco Pops, drink them in moderation. You don't hear the words Alco Pops and moderation very often in the same sentence. You don't hear people saying, yeah, just one Smirnoff mule, only I've got to get home, what with the baby on its way. And I think the best way to do it maybe is through the Japanese system, which is to get a piece of paper to fold into a square, fold it again, to bring the four points into the circle so you've got one of those flippy flacky things, and just put don't drink, do drink, don't drink coffee, do drink coffee, have some prawns, don't have some prawns, soft cheese is good for you, and just flip flack it about, get your mates to pick a number and a colour, see what it has to say, follow that. It's as good a rule as anything the chief medical officer is saying. I should point out I don't have any children.
I think the simple rule of thumb advice for women who want to drink when they're pregnant is if they get to the point where they can hear the fetus singing Nellie Dean, then that's probably the time to stop.
It seems churlish to stop women drinking alcohol when they're pregnant when they wouldn't have got pregnant without it, 90%. I've seen pregnant women licking salt and limes and tequila, and I don't know what it is. It's
that's just cravings, though, isn't it? That's different.
Yeah.
That's like eating coal. And
well, what if your craving is
alcohol?
Oh, yeah. When I was pregnant, I really had a craving for gin!
It's the ever-shifting goalposts of opinion regarding mothers-to-be, which have moved yet again after the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, or NICE, produced a draft report stating that a small amount of alcohol...
It would be on draft, wouldn't it?
A small amount of alcohol was fine for women in the last 6 months of pregnancy. The report states that women can consume up to 1.5 units of alcohol a day, which is the equivalent of a small glass of wine, half a pint of lager, or a whiff of David Hasselhoff's breath. Fred, whose apocalyptic vision was inconveniently flawed?
Thank you, Sandy. I think the clues are in there with the inconvenience, yep, aren't they? Well, described by Mr. Justice Burton as the charismatic ex-Vice President of the United States, Al Gore. Yeah?
Yeah.
This is a chap, Justice Burton, has been having a look at An Inconvenient Truth to see whether we should allow it to be shown in schools. I assume in England and Wales, because there's no way that's going to be shown in Scotland. I mean, that would interfere with the daily viewing of Braveheart. What will they not get, children? Is it freedom? Well done, Brian. Yeah, but so I think there's the biggest inconsistency, that Al Gore and charismatic. I mean, if it had been Gore in the White House instead of Clinton at that time and he'd been offered a cigar, Al would have smoked it.
The judge, he said there was 9 inconsistencies in it. Mm-hmm. And the one he didn't mention was that it's long and dull and you're talking about showing it to children. Those film showing sessions at schools are for 2 things. Are for teachers to take time off to go into a room and slag off the children, and for the children to sleep. So I don't know what the judge is getting in high dudgeon about.
A High Court judge has ruled that Al Gore's climate change documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, cannot be presented to school children as fact because it contains 9 errors. The film, for example, claims that Lake Chad in Africa has dried up due to global warming, when experts, in fact, agree it was actually due to very thirsty lions. And at the end of round 2, Andy and Phil have got 8 points, and Fred and Sue are in the lead with 11. Ooh. Before we start round 3, here is a cutting from the BBC Sports website about England's football match against Russia next week.
Michael Davis, a spokesman for Field Turf, believes that the current artificial pitch will give Russia an advantage over England. Some of the Russian players will have played on that surface before, knowing that the England players haven't, he said. Put a brand new surface in and it will be a level playing field.
Thanks to all those who sent that in. Andy, whose liberal dealings went up in smoke?
This is a liberal party smoke story.
No, it's not about the liberal party, it's about a woman who's liberal.
Oh, yes.
Phil?
Well, it's that, the woman who was...
I think the clue is when I said it was, yes, a woman.
But no, a woman was selling drugs to her children because she didn't want dealers selling to them.
Well, I don't think she was selling them, she was giving them freely.
Was she really?
Nice, kind.
Well, it's mad. You give them freely at first and then they get hooked! You can charge what you like! What kind of a mother is she? So, yeah, she was supplying drugs to her children because she didn't want them out on the streets
having drug experiences.
Was she mugging them as well, so they wouldn't be mugged out on the streets?
I don't really know.
Keep it all in the home. It's much, they can deal with it then.
This is, I think, answering the question about whether women should drink during pregnancy or not. They should drink, obviously, in order that their foetuses shouldn't need to go down the off-licence. Yeah. Just, again, keep it all within the womb.
I don't see what's wrong with helping get your kids stoned. I mean, anything for a quiet life. I think it's very...
Has she not heard of cow poll? That's what most of us do.
Teaching assistant Mrs. Nicola Cooper has been sentenced to 200 hours of community service after admitting supplying her two teenage children with cannabis. The judge said Mrs. Cooper had avoided a jail sentence because of her good character and her wonderful brownies.
As ever, toxic there sounded like something from the 50s. I've been using cannabis. I understand some of the children have been given the marijuana by the parents.
Sue, who doesn't know his ears from his elbow?
Oh, this is a ridiculous man who has claimed he's acquired an ear on his arm. Acquire is a strange term. I mean, you can acquire many things, but just to acquire an ear, it's not as easy as just a simple acquisition. I mean, he's got one, he's grafted it onto his forearm. Mm-hmm. And what he's trying to do, once that's taken, that graft, the ear graft, is to implant a microphone and attach it to a Bluetooth device, right? So you can hear what his arm ear is hearing. Okay, bearing in mind it's Newcastle, it's come up for winter, what you're going to be hearing is the sound of a sweater grazing an earlobe, which really isn't a full ear. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I'm no scientist, an ear is more than just the external bit. You've got the inner ear, the eardrum, the cochlea, and most importantly, a brain. Don't understand the point of it at all, unless, I don't know, he's going for some sort of disability sticker. He can say he's deaf in one ear. In which case... Well done you. You fooled the system and you don't have to pay congestion charges.
You know, soon, if it catches on, the Jerry Springer show will have people going, talk to the hand. Because it's listening as well.
What artists usually say when they're challenged about this kind of nonsense, they usually say, no, you see, what I'm doing is I'm changing the way that you look at the human body, don't they? That's usually the sort of default setting for an artist. It's like the crack in the floor at the Tate, which is about racism.
And killing pensioners.
It's called Shibboleth, isn't it? I would have, big crack in the floor, I wouldn't have called it Shibboleth. I'd have called it, you want to get that looked at.
How big is the crack in the floor?
It's massive.
So if you had a pensioner with the cart and the wheels and you pushed her towards the void, would she fall down there?
Within seconds she'd be down
there. But surely if you got her fast enough and you had a ramp...
And if there, you would get the mother trying to sell the crack to her two children. Good idea.
The Australian artist Stellark has had an ear implanted on his forearm. Get ready. With behaviour like this, he'll soon be getting a cuff round the ear.
That's taking the pressure off Fred, though. That's it.
Fred, who is running from the buzz?
African farmers who have been having their vegetable plots ruined by elephants have decided to employ a method of getting rid of the elephants by playing taped recordings of bees buzzing, because it turned out that turning them over and covering them in salt was too expensive.
Enormous beer trap.
They look at the size of this slug.
It's a new way to get rid of elephants, apparently, playing them.
You can't pour boiling water on them either. You'd have to get a ladder and a very good kettle. And
irony is that they only introduced elephants into Africa to get rid of the bees.
And they're not like English bumblebees, are they? They're not like English bumblebees who kind of, you know, drone from...
Potter.
These are African bees. And if one stings, then it emits a pheromone. And if you very quickly, you have 10,000 bees on you. Mm. I mean, it doesn't seem very specialised research to me that if you play the sound of bees, that the elephants move on. I think if you did it with... I think if we played the sound of 10,000 killer bees to this audience, I think they'd move on.
Yeah.
You know, I think they probably would.
The blokes in pubs in Basildon emit a pheromone when a fight starts, and then suddenly there's 10,000 of them.
Research from Oxford University has found that African elephants are terrified of bees and will quickly vacate a location as soon as they hear the sound of the insects approaching. The animals run away when they hear that distinct, irritating drone. No idea elephants even knew who Alistair Darling was. There. 2 points to Fred. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
Well, this has been sent in by Lynn Collis. A bomb disposal expert who put out an explosive factory fire in Hampshire has received a Pride of Britain award. Staff Sergeant Michelle Cunningham, 32, from Gloucestershire, went into the burning factory alone last year to tackle the blaze with two fire extinguishers. Formerly a stores clerk, she only became a bomb disposal expert because she was sent on the wrong training course.
Phil.
This one from the Brighton Argus, sent in by Pete Liddell. Thank you very much, sir. A customer stunned diners at an Italian restaurant yesterday by pulling out a gun seconds after ordering a bowl of soup. The man in his 30s coolly walked in to ask in Ship Street, Brighton, took a seat in the garden area. He ordered a courgette, pea and bacon soup before pulling out the gun, placing it on the table. A waitress told the duty manager the man wearing a dark suit and pink cardigan was heard to tell customers, "Don't worry, it's only a shotgun." Minutes later, plainclothes police officer arrived and arrested the man. As he was being led away, he called out, "Hold on, I haven't paid the bill yet."
Sue. This is from Elizabeth Long in Carshalton in Surrey, who sent this in. A mother who had called in television super nanny Jo Frost to help tame her 5 unruly children was left homeless yesterday after one of the youngsters set fire to their house in Witham, Essex. A spokesperson for Essex Fire Service said, "Someone is going to be sitting on the naughty step for quite some time."
Fred.
St Mary's air traffic controllers recently voted to strike after a peer review and job appraisal supported by their union, the TGWU. The vote was declared unanimous in favour of a strike. It didn't take long to count the votes. There were 2 abstentions and 1 vote for a strike. Fortunately, the government's Advisory Conciliation and Arbitration Service, ACAS, and the Transport and General Workers Union flew into Scilly for talks with the council that ended in agreement by the 3 men to halt industrial action. And chaos was averted.
Let's take a look at the final score. Andy and Phil have got 12 points, but this week's winners with 15 are Fred and Sue. Yay. Here's another cutting from the BBC Sports website, sent in by Will Lidbetter.
Newcastle United manager Sam Allardyce has voiced concerns about Michael Owen's ability to play in England's 2 Euro 2008 qualifiers after he underwent stomach surgery on the 28th of September. But Owen said, "I will bust a gut to play in any game."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Phil Jupiter, Sue Perkins and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Chris Aldridge. The chair script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Danielle Ward, with additional material by John Luke Roberts. The producer was Ed Morrish.